Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Chuckery always gets the first request. A little Vanessa Williams to get us started here. Very smooth and jazzy. It was kind of in a smoothie, jazzy kind of mindset. That and this was part of the countdown from 1989 on the Big 80s channel. I love SiriusXM, man. That 80s and 70s channel, that's so in my home run space for me. And that other station, The Groove, oh, so good. 404-741-0929, that's the phone line, that's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Be a part of the show. Hey, Sports Radio 99 The Game, so hoping you stay connected. We got past shows, interviews, all the content you need. If you need more info, go to radio.com/stay connected. Download the radio.com app. Put that on your device, your smartphone, your smart speakers, your turntable, boombox, A-track player, Walkman, Sony disc player. That way you can always catch us on the go outside of your car. Social media for the station is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms available to you there. The best way you can be a part of our show is follow us on social media. Follow me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. All your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else is out there. He is in Midtown producing the show behind the glass, hanging out in studio. It is Jarvis at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Let's get to our NFL squib kick.
Take a look at the NFL with the squib kick with John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And, of course, 92.9 The Game is your home for all of your NFL draft coverage, your Falcons coverage as well, your exclusive home of all things Atlanta Falcons draft coverage for you here starting on Thursday night, carrying you all the way through the weekend. We've been hearing so many teams and their GMs coming out and saying, hey, we're open for business to making a deal. The San Francisco 49ers are fielding calls as well about both of their first-round draft picks, according to a report from ESPN sources to Adam Schefter. So picks number 13 and 31 overall are open to being dealt, both or one, according to Adam Schefter. They have no selections in the second, third, or fourth rounds, which is kind of crazy to think about. So the Niners have 13 and 31, but no second, no third, no fourth. They want more picks. Now, after the 31st pick, by the way, on Thursday night, San Francisco is not scheduled to pick again until pick 156 on Saturday. And they got that 13th pick, by the way, for the trade to the Colts for DeForest Buckner. You know, the Niners are very interesting here because, obviously, they were in the Super Bowl last year. And it's not often that you get to be in the Super Bowl 1 year and have two first-round picks in the next year, unless you're New England. And again, New England does everything differently. So you can't put New England in the same category as anybody else that's out there. Everything is completely different when it comes to the New England Patriots. But a rather interesting scenario for the 49ers to decide what they want to do. Now, that's a team that probably is very much open for business. Maybe not so much lip service, because you got two first, then you don't pick again until 156. You know, you're trying to build some depth on that roster. Could the Falcons, if they needed to, put together a package that includes, you know, something to get them to 13. That certainly would be their second round pick. I don't know if their first and second round pick is all that they would need. I don't even know if that may even be too high of a price to move up three spots, right? It may even just be a situation where maybe a first and a third gets them up just a few spots in the draft. I don't know. But if you're looking for dance partners and you need to get, you know, up a little bit, if you want Henderson or Kinlaw, if they're still sitting there at 13 and, you know, you decided not to go, you know, the Jacksonville route and get up to number 9, maybe they're a potential dance partner. Maybe they're somebody that you can deal with if you're looking for another team to try to find where you need to move up, but maybe you're not looking to try to get up to top 5 status. I don't know. Something to think about. You know, another one of those teams. I don't know how willing Niners are to want to trade, you know, to certainly one of the better teams, you know, potentially in the NFC as well. John Elway talked about the draft. Remember, we talked last week, I guess it was last Thursday or Friday, about the fact that the NFL was going to hold a mock draft today once they got all of the, you know, bugs and kinks and everything worked out. So I guess there was a technical glitch early on in the process that they had. It says it's not clear what went wrong, but Broncos general manager John Elway said on a conference call that everything else unfolded smoothly on Monday. Quote, the draft went smooth. It got off to a little bit of a hiccup when we first started, but other than that, it went really smooth. There were really no problems with it, so we got more comfortable with it. It should be fine to go on without a glitch. I'm sure there will be a couple of glitches here and there, but actually for the first time, I thought it went pretty well. Now, remember that the NFL's already said if there are any technical glitches that are there, then they're going to stop the draft. And I don't mean quit the draft, just they will pause the draft. They pause the time on it to allow for those glitches to be fixed. So there's pretty much virtually probably no chance, unless you just purposely don't want to pick, unless you tell the commissioner, we don't want to pick here, unless you purposely don't want to pick, there's no chance whatsoever that a team won't be able to get their first round pick in, you know, and worry about it being on time, or at the same time try to make any trades or any deals out there. Now, we talked about, I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall today when all this was going on, because they were going to make trades and all sorts of stuff, you know, and have some fun with it and you know, try to get used to all the systems and everything, you know, in place. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for some of the trades that would have been offered up in this thing. Just kind of, I bet you there were some really fun what-if fantasy scenarios and things like that. Yeah, I'll give you Pat Mahomes for Julio Jones or, you know what I mean, something crazy like that or something. So, and they also referenced the fact that isn't maybe part of what people are hoping for is there are glitches? You know, there's that faction of us that like awkwardness. You know, I love awkward radio. I'm a big fan of awkward radio, and I very much enjoy that. I'm sure that there is enough of a group of people that are hoping that they have some glitches. I'm sure there's probably a group of people that hope they get hacked, that somehow it ends up being that they, the Kansas City Chiefs take Joe Montana with their first pick or something. You know what I mean? Like somehow something gets hacked and the NFL has to go in there and fix it or do something with it. The New England Patriots, they have decided that their color rush uniforms that they had been sporting over the last couple of years are now actually going to be their full-time uniforms. Joe Farron, the chief marketing officer of Kraft Sports and Entertainment, explained the rationale behind the change on the Patriots website. Quote, as we started to think about the 2020 season and a new decade, we began to envision what we wanted our uniforms to reflect. The success of the Color Rush uniform that we've worn for the past couple of years had us thinking that we didn't need to make real substantive changes. Rather, we could make modest changes to our home uniform and then use a complementary version with those same aesthetics for our away uniform. Now, the uniform basically that they're talking about is the Color Rush is the all blue. It's the blue jersey with the blue pants to it. That will be their primary look for 2020. When they've worn the blue uniform, the Color Rush uniforms, they're 6-1. where they wear blue at home and white on the road. Now, here's the thing. And by the way, it says that they will continue to wear blue at home and white on the road while donning blue pants both home and away. So the home uniform is the color rush, blue pants, blue shirt. The away uniform will be what we've gotten used to, the white shirt with the blue pants to it. Now, here's the thing that about that 6-1 stat or whatever like that. I would imagine that there's no matter what kind of combination of uniform that you come up with and put together for the Patriots, they probably have a tremendous record, right? It is Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Call me about how the uniforms are. Let me put it this way. Anybody think they're going 6-1 with these uniforms and no Tom Brady to them? I'm just saying. Now, this story is fascinating. This angst between the Jaguars and Yannick Ngakoue is really fascinating. So, Ngakoue went on Twitter over the weekend, okay? And listen, we know he wants out of Jacksonville. He's got the franchise tag for it. He wants to be traded. You know, obviously, it's not easy to trade somebody who's, you know, got the franchise tag and is going into the final year of their contract, obviously, okay? He went on a social media rant because that's what we have to do in 2020, in which he called the team's owner's son a clown and urged the team to get this S-you-know-what done. So Ngakoue started with the hashtag free Yan in all capital letters. Then he tweeted at Tony Khan, stop hiding Mo, which I guess is his son. Then Khan replied, I'm not hiding, sir. I'm in isolation getting ready for the draft. I've been pretty active on social media in isolation, but you wouldn't have known that since you unfollowed me again. Then Ngakoue said, since you're feeling might today, let's both let the world in on the truth. We Ben had a discussion that the Chargers game was my last game, yet you try to backdoor the situation without answering any of my camp's calls. SMH, you spoiled bra, holding up people for no reason. Then Khan responded, it's a new regime here, sir. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your contributions you made here. That said, tweeting insults at me won't get you traded any faster. Only good trade compensation will do that. Please redirect your efforts into a more positive outlet. Then he said, Ngakoue said, just trade me. I don't need the speech. And he put a checkered flag at the end of it. And then Tony Khan said, show me the compensation. I'm sure you're really driving up the price today, by the way. This is great. Now, listen, you know, you get what you deserve. Listen, if you're a player, okay, you get what you deserve when all this is said and done. You know, and like him or not, Tony Khan's right. Why am I? I'm not giving away. Listen, I'm not giving away a guy who's a top-tier pass rusher and he's, you know, getting the I'm not giving him away. I already accounted for the fact that he's got the franchise thing. And if he doesn't play, he doesn't play. Guess what? Jacksonville's no good. Jacksonville's about to be no good anyway. This isn't Jacksonville from a couple of years ago where, oh my gosh, they could go to the Super Bowl. No, that window closed, man. That's how fast it happens in the NFL, by the way. That's why, you know, you hear frustration in my voice so often because I say, you got to go for it. That was the best young collection of talent in the NFL, what, just 3 years ago? They were literally the best young collection of talent in the NFL 3 years ago. You don't think that their franchise wouldn't have been different had they have gotten to the Super Bowl and beaten the Patriots? You don't think, at least getting there? I think absolutely it would have. And you didn't make the move for your quarterback. You didn't have the right guy. And now that franchise is, whoo, going by the wayside. All right, when we get back, Would it surprise you if the Falcons went best available regardless of position? We'll talk about that next. It is the John Chuckery Show. Brown Liquor Music Hour rolls along. Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on the Radio.com app. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Sports Radio 929 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Hey, now's the time to stay connected to your neighborhood businesses that are still open to help deliver services in need, from takeout, food delivery, and more. Following are a few of the restaurants that are open with some options up in Alpharetta, Cherry Street Brew Pub. In Atlanta, it's our buddies over at Grindhouse Killer Burgers and at the Battery Garden and Gun Club. To see the full list in your neighborhood or to add to that list, more importantly, add to that list if you can, go to 929thegame.com/lovelocalAtlanta. 929thegame.com/lovelocalAtlanta. It feels like, in what you're hearing and reading, by the way, that the first part of May, that there's probably going to be more things that are going to start trying to get themselves open and back on track and things like that. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't know. But, I mean, it's that feels like sort of where things are going, is that first of May, is that people are trying to get some of these stores at least opened up and get a little bit of a semblance of normalcy back, you know, to it. Like I said, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's kind of seems like what the plan may end up being when all is said and done. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can join us there. Follow us on social media. You can catch me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Falcons draft coverage coming up Thursday. We'll have all of it right here on Sports Radio Nights on the Game. Thursday and all weekend long, you know, we'll have it on. We'll have live programming on Saturday and Sunday for you as well. College football game time leading into the draft show coming up Thursday. And obviously, as we get now to the nitty-gritty of the what the Falcons are going to do and who they're going to end up selecting. You know, we've seen mock drafts that go all over the board, you know, to it. And we've talked about on this show, I won't speak for other shows, but we kind of have our, you know, to quote a John Cena-ism, our five-knuckle shuffle, okay? We have our five guys that we look at and say, that's the guys that I want targeted the most, right? Chase Young, Kinlaw, Derek Brown, Isaiah Simmons, C.J. Henderson, right? Because I don't think they're going to trade up to three or four to get Okuda. And if Detroit picks at three, they're taking Okuda. So, you know, take those five guys as kind of where we're at with all of it, okay? And then you start to say to yourself, okay, obviously the Falcons would probably love to move up. That's in their bloodline, their nature, right? But you have to have the right dance partner, and you have to be willing to, you know, come up with a deal that makes sense. So if just for kicks and giggles, we say that the Falcons stay at 16, and the guys we've talked about aren't there, you know, that gap between we had Chad Forbes on earlier, and it's kind of funny, as we've had all these different guys on our show and reading some mock drafts and things like that over the last few weeks, you know, everybody figures, you know, Burrow, Tua, Chase Young, Okuda, Simmons, right? Those guys are pretty easy. But when you start talking about after C.J. Henderson, you know, where Christian Fulton fits, when you talk about after Chase Young, who's the next edge guy? Are they first-rounders, second-rounders, whatever? You know, so much there. And I wonder if the Falcons at 16, if some of those guys aren't there, would they look at best player regardless of position? Now, I do think that there are some positions that they're not going to draft. I don't think quarterback is obviously first round. That would be the most amazing thing in the history of drafting, is if they drafted a quarterback in the first round. I don't think that wide receiver is, given the fact that they brought in Treadwell with Calvin and Julio and Treadwell. There's only so many dollars that you can allocate to that position when you've got two first-round guys and another guy, you know, and they've got Gage. I can't imagine them investing capital in that. But after that, is anything off limits? You know, we've seen Xavier McKinney as a pick in some of these mock drafts. That's a safety. Well, I mean, assuming health, okay, they not only have two starting safeties, but they have a guy in DeMonte KZ that also plays that position. So it's not like that they're necessarily lacking for help at safety. And if you're drafting McKinney at number one in your number one in your first round, well, he's on the field playing from day one. Miss me with the competition and this, that. He's playing, and I don't mean special teams. He's playing safety day one. You know, offensive line. What if they're in love with one of the running backs and nobody's been drafted at 16, which is very possible? What if they love Jonathan Taylor and they look at the board and say, you know what? We like Epiniza, but he doesn't rate on our board as high as Jonathan Taylor. Well, you know you've only got Gurley for a year. You know you've got a collection of guys, but you don't know what you have in those guys behind him. Would they draft running back? I don't think there's a tight end that is worthy of a first-round pick at that point. So, you know, tight end off the board because really just of available talent that's there. But, I mean, honestly, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker. Now, some of that is positions of need, obviously. But if you're talking about running back, offensive line, or safety especially, you know, I don't think that those are first-round worthies of need picks to be had out there. So it's been done before because when they took Calvin Ridley, you know, Tavian Bryan was sitting right there out of Florida. Defensive lineman that they needed. You know, they needed defensive help. Get a guy to go with Grady. And they looked at and they said, wait a second. The best wide receiver in the draft on our board dropped. And the guy who we look at as, who's the best guy available, that was Ridley. And you can say what you want. Was it a good pick, not good pick? I don't know. I mean, Ridley himself as a player has been a very good pick. So that hasn't been a problem as far as the quality of the player picked. The question really becomes whether or not should they have actually drafted a wide receiver, you know, at that spot when they needed defensive help for a unit that still hasn't gotten all that much better out there. So would it surprise me if the Falcons, you know, I don't like the idea of drafting, you know, a McKinney, but he's going to be there. He's going to be there most likely. I mean, unless something happens and somebody really falls in love with him, he's going to be there. You know, and listen, who knows? You know, we talked to Chad Forbes earlier. You start talking about health or this, that, and the other, and, you know, some guys get evaluated and end up falling for it. You know, some guys, at the end of the day, some guys end up dropping to you because of factors about either them as a prospect, okay, or teams get in love with, you know, having to go up and get somebody. Because certainly before the Falcons pick at 16, I expect at least three quarterbacks off the board. There'll be at least three quarterbacks off the board, probably at least two wide receivers. Two of those three guys have got to go, right? I don't know how Lamb, Ruggs, and Judy, two of those three last to where the Falcons are. So that's, you know, I think at least five guys right there. We know Young, Brown, Simmons, those guys are going as well. But it would be interesting to see if, you know, and obviously we're not going to get a chance to see what their draft board looks like as far as how they rate these prospects, but, you know, the gap between Chase Young and everybody else, including Chaseon, you know, maybe they look at Chaseon differently than we look at. Maybe they look and say, you know what, we just don't trust the health and this, that, and the other, and it's not worth the risk at 16 to take a guy like that. He's not rated as high as on our board, but you know what? DeAndre Swift is rated, you know, whatever. Jonathan Taylor, I don't care. Pick whatever name that you want to attach to all of that. Pick whatever name and say, okay, you know, maybe they look at the linebacker spot and they say, you know, Isaiah Simmons, we have top five pick. Murray out of Oklahoma, eh. We don't think he's, you know, gets better than a second round grade. But you know what though? This tackle fell to us in the draft. Maybe we take a chance and roll the dice. I mean, anything's possible. I mean, with Dimitrov, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a team that has to find an impact player right away at 16. Now, ideally, all this is a moot point and the Falcons trade up on draft night and go up to wherever and get one of the, you know, five knuckle shuffle guys that we've talked about, you know. Give me Simmons or Brown or Kinlaw or C.J. Henderson or, you know, Chase Young. Give me one of those guys. I still think the Falcons will trade up. I can't imagine them trading back. And unless things just don't really work out and teams are asking too much, you know, I can't imagine that there isn't some spots to move up. We all teams talk to some degree, and they obviously all field offers, but you have general managers that feel almost like they're afraid to make the pick where they're at. I mean, Dave Gettleman, you know, been just as consistent as could be about moving out of that spot. And think about the players that are going to be available to him, because, you know, it's a very good chance two of the first three picks before him are cornerbacks. And only Chase Young probably out, you know, in that mix with him. So the available pool that he's got, you want Simmons, you want Brown, you want Kinlaw, you know, if Okuda's sitting there because somebody traded up to get Tua. You have such a wide variety for a team that just has spent a lot of draft capital the last couple of years. But they're making it so clear that, hey, we'll get out of that business. We'll get out of the business of being at four. We're willing to get out of that business. I think there is some fire to that smoke that's being put out there by them. So don't forget all of your draft coverage. It'll be right here on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Thursday, Dukes and Bell will go 2-5. And by the way, they'll have the Falcons' first round pick on Friday's show. So if you want to hear from whoever the newest Falcon is, whoever that may be, the plan is right now that they will be on Dukes and Bell on Friday. We'll be on Friday night for the second round of the draft. Then we'll have weekend programming as well, as Hugh Douglas and I will be on from 2 to 6. Andy and Randy will be on before us from 10 to 2, as we'll continue to watch the final few rounds of the draft and respond and react to everything. And then Jarvis is going to be on late night Thursday. Hot Take Tommy and Will are on Sunday. So we got all your live and local coverage right here on 92 The Game for the NFL draft. So it'll be all weekend long, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We got plenty of coverage for you, and we'll hear from all of the draft picks that the Falcons do make over the course of this weekend. All right, one more segment to go. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on a Monday night, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and on the radio.com app. Of course, Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Headed toward the top of the hour. JR Sports Brief will be after us tonight, 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of it. Follow us on social media at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis D90. So I was reading a little bit more about this mock draft today that went on. I didn't really go through everybody's tweets and look at all the information, but Adam Schefter was reporting that text from a participant on the NFL's mock draft that started at 1 p.m. Eastern today. The mock draft today already with technical glitches with Cincinnati's first pick. brutal. Diana Russini of ESPN says, I'm texting with multiple coaches and GMs who are off this mock draft call, and everybody's saying the same thing, which is bandwidth is a problem. There are many communication issues. Text from a GM during this mock draft. There are early communication issues between or issues because 32 of us GMs are on conference call and we didn't hit mute. Sounds awful. Now, I was on a conference call today with our radio station with like seven people. And if you don't hit mute, it's the simplest things. Nothing worse than being on a conference call and everybody doesn't hit mute because it sounds dreadful. Because you pick up one person picks up all their background noise. We had birds chirping and all kinds of stuff. Trevor, you were on that call today, right? You were part of that conference call. Yeah, I mean just mute your line. It says after the start, it's running smoothly. It's quiet actually on the call. She also said, ask the coach to describe this mock draft. You got the NFL main room that only main people in the organization can log into. You got 15, 20 scouts, coaches on another meeting. You have to find a way to call prospects after you pick them, sign off on trades, lots of moving parts. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's going to be some learning curve to it. My guess is, truthfully, they'll have even another mock draft before Thursday, that they'll take all of this that they learned today and put themselves through one more mock before we get to Thursday to get this all sorted out. And like I said, you know, the presentation part of it, you know, when Roger Goodell does it, that will be kind of interesting, you know, to see what it is. But there's definitely a morbid faction of the idea of how bad could this get? What would really suck is if they have all these technical glitches, and imagine if the first round takes like 7 hours to get completed because they got so many glitches and stuff. Now, I don't imagine it's going to be that bad out there, but just think about how crazy it would be if they can get some of those issues, you know, up and cranking. And like I said, there's definitely a fact. And listen, I'm for bad, awkward TV and radio and things like that. So I'm all for that kind of stuff. It would be funny if they came right out of the chute trying to give Cincinnati's pick. Like, and by the way, how hard is it on some of this? Because outside of trades, which I'm sure that's going to be on the phones and stuff, but really, like, how hard is it to just get the pick to Roger Goodell? I mean, if you're picking one or two, it shouldn't be really hard to just get the pick to the commissioner, right? I mean, I wouldn't think that would be all that difficult to pull something like that off, you know, out there. Now, trades and stuff like that, maybe a little bit more, but all the commissioners really got to do is just read everything, right? Like, the Giants are not sending their pick to Roger Goodell, right? There's a room and, you know, there's some people that are fielding the calls or something. It doesn't seem like it should be all this hard to do some of this. Now, the trades and everything like that, I get. You know, or if you're trying to, like, have video conferencing, you know, with coaches or players or, you know, they've got, like, you know, not a war room set up, but they've got guys that are going to have cameras and stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how the presentation is, but I don't understand, like, how it should be all that hard to actually have the mock draft itself through virtual means and stuff like that. I mean, hell, the guys are going to – we already saw Thomas Dimitrov set up, right? He's going to have, like, ESPN and the TVs on and everything, so they're all going to be watching. It's not like they're going to be caught off guard by who's picked. And I did find it funny that, again, the commissioner put out, in the commissioner's office, put out the statement about the fact of they don't want the media to leak the picks early, right? You know, because there's that time of the pick actually is turned in and the commissioner actually announces it, and Twitter's got it, you know, what, minutes before it happens. Sometimes not just seconds, but, you know, if they go to commercial or something, they'll have it minutes before the pick is actually made. And then, of course, they spoil it. So, you know, again, good luck to all of that. There's like, no chance that there won't be leaked picks, I mean, all night long. I mean, that's the business that Schefter and those guys are in, is to get the information. To get the information, not necessarily get the information fast and correct, or I should say not get the information, you know, out there based on correctness, but speed, right? How quickly can you get the information out there? So I'm rooting for some glitches. I think it would be funny to watch the commissioner, see how well he can ad lib his way through everything. And, you know, all the two main networks, NFL Network and ESPN, are going to combine their forces to hold one broadcast. So I'm sure that they will, you know, they will be turning away, you know, if there are any glitches and things like that, and you'll get all the talking head pundits that would be out there trying to break it all down for you, you know, trying to come up with angles and storylines and stuff like that to fill time or whatever like that. But it would be fun if those guys have to be there for a long time, that if those guys have to, you know, end up being there for quite a while because things get all screwed up for it. I got no problem with that. Now, I don't want them to get hacked. You know, I don't want them to get it to where, like, they shut down the draft and, you know, like our email system at Intercom, we get hacked and we got shut down and we got held for ransom. You know, I don't want the NFL to have that. We need, you know, I don't want that to be the storyline, is NFL couldn't complete draft because somebody's holding them up for ransom. You know, at that point, like I said, just get the Oompa Loompas, put Roger Goodell in a bubble, have the Oompa Loompas have one of those prepaid cell phones and just field calls from people and just run the messages up to Roger Goodell and just let him read it off like he's Willy Wonka, okay? You know, if that's what it takes to get the draft done, get it done. I don't want them to be held hostage by any of this. But I don't mind the idea of getting some, you know, glitches and some hiccups and stuff like that, because that'll make it fun and a little bit more real. And it's not like guys are going to lose their picks, because they've already said, we'll stop the clock. We'll do what we have to do and stop the clock, you know, when all is said and done. And like I said, ideally, just let me have the Falcons pick early. Let me have the Falcons start picking early in the draft. Get their draft pick early and out of the way. Like, let's pick at four. Let's pick at four. Let's get that done. And then everybody else who screws it up after that, hey, man, that's a you problem. If you screw it up after that, nobody cares. Falcons got their draft pick in. We know who we've got. Our guy's selected, you know, and you'll hear him on Dukes of Bell on Friday and move on from there. You know, we can worry about breaking down the Vikings draft pick later. Do you think there's any way the Falcons would look to try to move back up into the first round again? That they sit at 16 and try to find a way to get back up? What if they're interested in going to 31 with San Francisco on their pick? What if they say, let's get to 31, we got a guy here that we want? So like what they did with Caleb McGarry last year. Wouldn't that be something if they sit at 16 and then say, okay, you know, like they did last year. They sat at, 14 with Chris Lindstrom? And it's like, okay, well, we got our offensive lineman. Then all of a sudden, Falcons are back up in the first round. And you're like, oh, wait. And they got another offensive lineman. Like, oh, okay. What if the Falcons pulled off something like that? That they went and got there, especially if they end up, you know, maybe not getting the guy that they ideally would have loved to have at 16. You know, I hate to use the word settle, but what if they kind of have to settle for a guy that maybe wasn't, you know, one or two on their board at a particular position, especially if it's like corner or something like that? I can't imagine that the Falcons have anybody over Okuda and C.J. Henderson on their board. And by the way, the Falcons did have a video conference call the other day with C.J. Henderson. So they have interviewed him. They have gotten him on conference call, and they have talked with him. So we know that did happen. So he's one of the guys that certainly we believe that they're interested in. But what if they end up having to settle and they take a Christian Fulton and they want to get back up and say, yeah, that's not enough. We got to get another guy. We got another guy targeted for another position and move up and, I don't know, go get a pass rusher or something like that. Nothing would surprise me at this point. But I hope some of the rumors are true, that the Falcons are going to be as active as what everybody, at least in the media, is trying to say that they're trying to be. That they're going to be active and trying to move up in the top four or five. All right, going to be time to wrap things up. Time for the Love TKO when we get back and get you ready for JR Sports Brief. It's all coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio, Nats on the Game, and on the Radio.com app.
Know what's been going on in T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.